Luke chapter 8. The message today is, Then Cometh the Devil. Luke chapter 8, and I want to read some from Luke's Gospel and also the Gospel of John, but keep that theme in mind. Then cometh the devil. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude came together, and they of every city resorted unto him, he spake by a parable. A sower went forth to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the heaven devoured it. Now let's see the interpretation. Look over at verse 9. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be. And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that have heard. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. How simple. The seed is the word of God sown in the heart of man, and when it is, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Look at chapter 11. Again, here is a figure, a picture of the devil. I'll tell you about some of the names given to him. Luke chapter 11. Our Savior has been accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub. And he said this, verse 20, But if I by the finger of God cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Now, look at verse 21 again, because this translation is exact. When the strong man, fully armed, guarded his own court, his palace. Now, it's fully armed. The word armed is hapitsamai. But this is the word kathapitsamai. It means perfectly, completely armed. And this strong man that is completely armed, that has his castle, that has his court, that has his goods, is the devil. And when he's in charge, everything is in peace. But notice, thank God for verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, that's the Lord Jesus, and overcome him. It's like this. There was the great Goliath in the Old Testament. And there was a stripling of a lad, a youth. But he turned out to be stronger than the giant. And here is the Lord Jesus who comes forth in weakness, and yet he turns out to be stronger than the strong man. Now, turn to John 8. John 8. We have to learn about the character of the strong one, the devil that cometh. In chapter 8 of John, look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil and the lusts of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof. This is Christ's description of the devil. Now look at chapter 14. A glance first in 13. 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having left his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, look down at verse 26. He it is to whom I shall dip the sop and give it him. So when he had dipped the sop, he taketh and giveth it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the sop, then entered Satan into him. Jesus therefore saith unto him, What thou doest, do quickly. And chapter 14 now. Chapter 14. Verse 30. I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for all things that you tell us about things that we see, but we do not understand them properly. And then, our God, you tell us about things that we cannot see, that there is a great need of understanding these things. We are glad that thou dost have a visible world and an invisible world. We know that we have bodies, but thou hast told us that we have souls and spirits as well. And we see that the world is filled with creatures, birds and animals and men. But so often the world is unaware and would with laughter deny the existence of any spirit beings. We are thankful that thy word leaves no doubt. It explains to us concerning these things. So we pray that we may understand the significance of the physical things and the reality of the spiritual things, and that we might be prepared as your children to live to your glory because of an understanding of these things. So help by thy Spirit all of us to speak, to understand, and that your Son may be glorified. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Look for anything of importance in the Bible that God wants to be done, and when you find this event, you will find Satan there. No matter what it is, no matter where it is, if there is an event of importance to God, Satan will be there. You say, how can that be? Because when I tell you these things about Satan, it will seem as if he possesses all the attributes of God. But he is a creature. He is the greatest of the creatures that God has made. But he is not God. He does not possess the attributes of God. But he possesses attributes so far superior to man and all other creatures that the creature thinks that he's God, because he doesn't know the omnipotent God. And it seems as if he is everywhere, because there are hosts, armies of spiritual wickednesses everywhere. And so when it speaks about Satan, I want you to understand that it means either Satan personally, or it means his hosts, his demons, his ministers. That is why, when it said that the Lord Jesus sowed the seed, It said the birds, not one large bird, but the birds of the air came and snatched away those seeds. That means not Satan personally, but it means his hosts, because Satan can be in one place. That is all. That his hosts that are numberless can be everywhere. And it speaks about these angelic beings being made to fly swiftly. How is it possible for Satan, who is on earth, to be before God? How long would it take man to go from earth to the presence of God? And yet, when the day that the sons of God are to report to God, Satan is there. So his acceleration, his power, when man looks at it, seems to be that of God. It is not that. It is so far superior to man that it seems to be that of God. And I read you these portions about Satan so that you might understand, so that you might take to heart his activity, his determination to thwart, to overthrow every purpose of God. If you find anything that God desires, you will see that Satan is there, his enemy, to thwart, to overthrow the purpose of God, whether it be a great purpose or whether it be an insignificant purpose. He is out to overthrow the will of God. And I'm going to show you and bring to your attention how universal, how constant is the activity of Satan, because it's been going on since man's creation on the earth. I shan't speak about what took place before that, but since man was here, let's think. I've told you. Then came the devil. God has created man in his own image and his wife. They're placed in the garden, and God, in the cool of the day, would come and visit his innocent creatures and have fellowship with them. He would talk with them. He would explain things to them. He would see the progress that they had made in understanding his creation. And then, in Genesis 3, it says this, that Satan is in that garden. He does not come personally. Seldom does he come personally to tempt, to put forth his activities to the destruction of God's will. But he will come in a serpent. He will come in a human being. He will come in an army. He has his ways of coming to overthrow the purposes of God. And it simply says in Genesis 3 that the serpent said unto Eve, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of all the trees of the garden? You say, but that's not Satan, that's a serpent. It says, as the serpent beguiled Eve, and then we are told by Paul and Revelation that this serpent is the instrument of Satan. And so here is God, who has an old creation that has been contaminated by sin because of the rebellion of Lucifer, thou son of the morning. Lucifer and his angels. And now God starts another creation, not of spirits, but of physical beings. And as soon as God begins this creation, then cometh the devil. You'll find that the devil is there. You say, whenever God begins the human race, Satan is there to destroy the human race. In chapter 4 of Genesis, we have the first two children that have been born into the world. We have Cain and we have Abel. And they are worshiping God. And you'll find that Satan is there. You say it says nothing about Satan in Genesis 4.
That's right.
It doesn't say anything at all. But it simply says that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. That's all it says. I say it was Satan. You say, how can you say it was Satan? I told you that the serpent was Satan in chapter 3. I tell you that the serpent is Cain. The devil is Cain in Genesis 4. You say, how do you know for sure? Because it tells us in 1 John 3. It says, little children, let us love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him his brother? Because his works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. Now you understand. You say then Cain was Satan. And that's what God is telling us. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us when he speaks of him in Genesis 3 and 4, describing him this way. He is a murderer. He is a liar. Now listen to the lie in Genesis 3. Have God said you shall not eat of the trees of the garden? And then Eve says, well, we can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't touch it because God has told us that if we do it, we're going to die. And listen to this. Thou shalt not die. A lie. The first thing that he says to Eve is a lie. All right. It resulted in death. That's murder. But to show that there was not only a telling of lies that results in death, but in Genesis 4, because we have the works of Cain, and it seemed to me as if they were good works, but God says they were wicked works. And it says, Abel's works were righteous. And it said, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, that's Satan. And he slew his brother. He is a murderer. So understand that to thwart and overthrow the purposes of God, he will tell a lie and let that lie work its results. Or he will fill the heart of one like Cain and incite him to murder. But God, even though Cain perpetrated that murder, says Satan is the murderer. Understand it. We have power to resist, but if we do not resist, it is Satan who tempted us, and it is we who carry out that temptation. And God says that Cain slew his brother, that it was because of the influence of Satan. And God is doing everything he can, other than miraculously to overcome the will of Cain, to prevent him from falling into this evil deed. And he says, if thou doest well, why, it shall be lifted up. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. He's telling him. He knows that Satan is there. And then since Cain will not repent, then Satan comes and overpowers his will, and he so hates his brother Abel that he rises up against him and he slays him. Now, we have this repeated in John chapter 13. It says that before the Passover, the Lord Jesus is wanting to have that Passover. With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And before the Passover, Satan is already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus. I told you in Genesis 4, Satan had put into the heart of Cain to slay his brother Abel. And then when the opportune moment comes, they're out in the field together. They are alone. And Cain rises up against his brother and slays his brother. And here, Satan has put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus. And then, when the Savior gives Judas Iscariot that sot, it said Satan entered into his heart. And the Savior said, what thou doest, do quickly. And he went out, and it was night. And the next we see is our Savior in the garden, and Judas Iscariot has brought this band of murderers to apprehend the Lord Jesus. And he comes up, and he kisses the Savior. Here is Satan, responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as certainly as Satan was responsible for the death of Abel when he filled the heart of Cain to slay his brother, and he fills the heart of Judas to betray the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. Whenever there is something that is good and precious, that is the will of God, then cometh the devil. Now, I started to read to you all three passages because in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, three times we have the parable of the sower. But it says in Matthew 13, then cometh the wicked one. It says in Mark, then cometh Satan. And it says in Luke, then cometh the devil. The threefold description of the same person. He is the wicked one, the evil one. That is his nature. Then cometh Satan. He is the adversary. The word adversary means that he is against that which God is for. And he is the devil, and that is the accuser. Diabolos means he casts accusations against the people of God. And so, at times, God describes him as wicked and evil. He describes him as the accuser. He describes him as the adversary. Why? Because he's all these things. Anything that is good and that God desires to do, you have a wicked one, an accuser, an adversary. You have this one that is described in the variety of his activities and of his nature, and God says, this is the one that I'm telling you about. Now, I told you that in the case of Judas Iscariot, Satan was there, and in the case of the death of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh. You see? Then cometh the devil. Then cometh the prince of this world. So think for a moment now. You say, then, from the beginning of time, since man began, the devil comes. Yes. Well, then how ancient is that evil one? He has been in existence from the time of creation. That is his age. You say, how do you know? Because we are told in Job chapter 38 that when God created the heavens and the earth, he had created spirit beings before, and it said, where were you, Job, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Satan, known as Lucifer at that time, was there, marveling as God brought this universe into existence. So he has existed since the beginning of time, because angels are deathless. They're not like creatures, finite beings that live, if we happen to be a Methuselah, 969 years, but then 70, and then some infants die. But Satan and all the other angelic beings are deathless, and so he has been in existence since time. And so that is why, whenever God does anything in time, Satan is there to overthrow it. First of all, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He opposed God himself, and God cast him out, gave him limited access to heaven. And then as soon as God brings man into existence, then cometh the devil, Satan, the adversary. And I tell you these things because God's children are not aware of it. if I read to you the second parable, the parable of the wheat and the tares, this would have explained it more fully. It says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field, and the devil came and sowed tares. And after time, when the good seed sprang up, and the tares sprang up, the servants of the master said, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Yes. Whence then hath it these tares? And the Lord told us, he said, an enemy hath done this. Do you see? Who would have known that the field that sprang up with tares, what caused all of this? His servants did not know what caused it. The Lord Jesus did. He said, an enemy hath done this. And he tells us that when he, the Son of Man, sowed good seed, then the devil came and sowed tares in his field. You say, why, whenever God tries to do one thing, the devil tries to do another. That is exactly right. But you wouldn't know it. Why, here's a farmer. He looks at his field and he says, this is strange. I guess a strong wind blew these tares into my field. I guess that's it. It was the purposeful activity of Satan that did it. And now that the Lord Jesus has explained, when we look around and see things that go wrong, you say, well, what is causing this? The Lord Jesus says, an enemy hath done this. It is the ceaseless and the universal activity of Satan. You say the universal activity of Satan? Yes, because if you look in the book of Job, on the day when all God's angelic beings have to give an account of their activities, it says, Satan appeared before God. Well, that is in heaven. Yes. And I read to you in Genesis 3 that in the Garden of Eden on earth, then the serpent, the devil in the serpent, spoke to Eve. You say, then he's active in heaven and he's active on earth. Now, that's what I'm trying to tell you. That his activity, his presence, is universal. Now, he can't be everywhere at one time. But as soon as he leaves the presence of God, he comes to earth and he lays hold on Job, and he would destroy Job, this favorite of God. It doesn't matter whether it's something great or something small. If it's of God, Satan is against it. And all you have to do is to look and see when God is working, where God is working, how God is working, then cometh the devil. And I thought, whether it be a great work of God or a small work of God, then cometh the devil. Now, what could be smaller and of less significance than this little assembly here? A dozen or two people, you say, certainly Satan isn't interested in that. Then cometh the devil. It doesn't make any difference whether it's great or whether it's small. The reason that he is against us is that we are the children of God. I will give you the illustration from the Old Testament to show you how this works. Finally, after so long, God had raised up David, and the kingdom was going well, and all seemed to be in order. And it says in Chronicles that Satan rose up against Israel, God's nation. And he tempted David to number the people of God. You say, he's against Israel? Well, of course. Why? Because Israel is the people of God. And he's against us? Of course. Why? Because we are the people of God. He's not against his own. He controls them, but he's for them. And he will work with them. But when it comes to the nation of Israel, Satan tempts David to number them. Why? Because Satan rises up against
Israel, the people of God, then cometh the devil. And notice here, it is not a serpent, it is not a murderer, Cain, but it is the man after God's heart, David. And Satan is in David numbering Israel. You'll find that it's difficult to understand when you read in one account that God did it, that Satan did it, until you think about the book of Job. Now, if I ask you, who was it that had Job tested? You say, why? It was God, because God gave Satan permission. Yes, he did. And so I could say then that God did it. God was putting Job to the test, not to show he was evil, but to show he was good, that he was faithful. But who did the tempting? You say it was Satan. And so could I say that God tempted Job? Yes. Could I say that Satan tempted Job? Yes. Which is correct. You say both of them are. It's the way you look at it. And so in like manner, when it says that Satan rose up against Israel, it is God again giving Satan permission to tempt Israel through David, as God gave Satan permission to tempt Job through all of these human beings that were near to him and far from him. To tempt him through his wife, to tempt him through his servants. He said, now, who is my servant that were not worthy to keep my dog? They are insulting me. Now, Satan is using them to tempt Job. So, wherever you have the purpose of God, you have Satan. And I told you it is universal for this reason. It says that Satan is accusing the brethren before the presence of God. In Revelation 12, he is the accuser of the brethren, and that's the word diabolos. He is the accuser of the brethren. Why does he accuse them? Because they're brethren, because they're gods. That is why. And what is so delightful is this, that whereas we have Satan accusing the brethren before God, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It says, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. So, wherever you have Christ praying for us, you have Satan accusing us. Because this is his purpose. And he is an enemy that will use every power that is at his disposal to overcome. Somehow, people think that Satan is going to let up, be at ease, give us rest. Never, not for a moment, does he give us rest. It is simply that he is planning his strategy. After he failed in tempting the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, it says, then the devil left him for a season. It's not that he had given up the fight. It was simply he was planning other tactics as to how he could overcome the Lord Jesus. And then you find him in Matthew 16, not personally confronting the Lord Jesus, but in Peter, when the Savior announces that he's going to be crucified, Peter says, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee. And the Savior says, get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord Jesus knows that it's Satan. So what we have to understand is this, that he's going to try to make you help, hate me, resist me, sow discord among brethren, contradict, let there be enmity, strife. Why? Because that is his purpose. Here is a handful of people trying to do the will of God, trying to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan hates it. And he will infiltrate, and he will do everything in his power to overthrow these few sheep in the wilderness, this little flock, this handful in the wilderness. He will do all in his power to take away from the glory of God. Just like this, when the Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the children were crying hosannas. And the enemies of Christ said, do you not hear what they are saying? Tell them to be silent. And the Lord Jesus said, if they are silent, the stones will cry out. And so you have the activity of Satan, and it is ceaseless, and it shall go on unto the end. But let us remember that there is a stronger than he, and he is on our side. Now, in the will of God, more later, but that's all for now. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that you tell us about an enemy. There are so many things that take place around us we cannot understand. There are things that we feel in our hearts. We wonder why. There are things that go on among us. Instead of love, there is hatred. Instead of respect and giving place to others, there is jealousy and strife. Our God, thy Son has told us, an enemy hath done this. So let us understand that our fallen nature is a perfect vehicle for the activity of Satan. And so we pray, our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one, we pray. So we are not ignorant of his devices now. We desire to know more about them. Help us and keep us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.